time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you are doing well today. And we have got a jam-packed program for you. By the way, coming up a little bit later on, our good friend Robin Walensky, our national correspondent, joins us. Also, Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL is going to drop by. And we have a crazy story about a school board in North Carolina that wants to abolish God and prayer. So we'll tell you about that. It's just a bizarre story. I want to get started, though, with something that happened to me this morning, something I saw this morning. This program is about you, the great listeners of the Todd Starnes radio program, not about yours truly, the host. I share my observations with you, and I observed something as I was driving into the news bunker earlier today. This morning, I had the honor of filling in on radio station KWAM, our morning show, the radio station I own. Many of you know Ben Dieter just got hired. He is now the official press secretary for one of the Tennessee Congress peoples up in Washington, D.C., so he's moving to the swamp. So I was filling in this morning, and we had a wonderful time. South Haven, Mississippi. They call it the top of Mississippi. And if you ever get a chance to go there, you got to go check out South Haven. What a beautiful destination visit. So shopping, great shopping, restaurants. Anyway, I was driving back towards the interstate, and I was stuck in traffic. They have a lot of traffic there. And I was stuck in traffic, and I glanced over, and I saw a shopping center that was very close to the roadway. And in that shopping center was a military recruiting office. And I could not help but notice there was a line out the door of young men standing out there, and it was raining as nasty weather here in the Mid-South. But these young men were standing out there on the sidewalk waiting to get inside the military recruiting office so they could sign up to join the armed forces of this great nation. And I sat there, and I'm glad we had a traffic jam, because it just took me a second to really soak in the scene and the moment. And it, again, made me proud to be an American. It made me proud of my vote for Donald J. Trump back in November, because Donald J. Trump is the reason those young men are standing out there in the thunderstorms, waiting in line to go and sign their name on the paper and join the United States military. That wasn't happening in the last administration. And instead, you had a bunch of freaks and weirdos and perverts, drag queens, an assortment of weird people. But I didn't see any of that in that line. I just saw red-blooded American patriotic young men who looked like they could bench press my Cadillac. There are some big fellows, fresh off the farm, I have no doubt. So I just want to say thank you. God bless those young men. I don't know, some of them may be listening to this program today. God bless you. Thank you for the decision you made. God bless our Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth. You know, the guy's doing a great job, getting a lot of bad press, no doubt about that, but he's doing a great job. And Pete Hegseth is one of these guys. He's like one of the an owner-operator. You know what I mean? It's not that he just owns, you know, and he doesn't own the business, but you know what I'm talking about. So let's say you're Todd Starnes, the owner of KWAM News Radio. I roll up my sleeves and I get to work. I like to roll the garbage out on Thursday. Whoop, think I forgot to do that yesterday. But anyway, you're an owner-operator, so you invest in the business. You don't sit back in your office and count all your dollar bills. And Hegseth is like that. He likes to get out there. He likes to not just meet the troops, he'll go work out with them. He'll be, hey, what are you guys doing? Well, we're just sitting here. Want to go jog 20 miles? Sure, why not, Mr. Secretary? And off they go. That's Pete Hegseth, and I love his mission of fit, not fat. I would recommend Calitrin for the entire, all those tubo lards out there. Calitrin, it works wonders. So anyway, all that to say, that really blessed my heart today. And it was once again just a small reminder. I mean, here I am in South Haven, Mississippi. Good size, medium size, southern town. And I wonder if that's what's happening in other cities and towns all over America, where people are lining up and they're signing. They say that the volunteer numbers are literally off the charts. Record-breaking numbers of young men, especially young men. And we love our ladies. We love our conservative ladies, our great, beautiful conservative ladies. We have the most beautiful women in all of the planet, and they're conservative. And we love you ladies, and we honor you if you want to serve, but really, we want the men to serve. We want them to stand up and to defend you and to protect you. But we stand with everybody. Anybody who puts on the uniform, I have great, great respect for you. So last night, President Trump was in Alabama at the University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa, and the president had a chance to address the graduating class of 2025. And here's what the president had to say.
Graduates of the Alabama class of 2025 standing here before you in this magnificent arena, it is clear to see the next chapter of the American story will not be written by the Harvard Crimson. It will be written by you, the Crimson Tide.
Oh, I love that. That's a great
line. I thought that was rather clever. If you look at what's going on, they get their $5 billion a year. That is not going to be so forthcoming. Now, can you? Wasn't that a clever one, though? Huh? Who would think of that?
Yeah, it was a great line. And, the first impression here is, man, do they love this president. I mean, these are all young people here. These are kids in their, early 20s. They love this man. People cheering and applauding and just having a great time. And I will say this, I've had to do these commencement addresses. And I will tell you, I went to the first time I ever had to do one, I was terrified. I would rather sit down and, interview, President Trump, which is, you would think that would be somewhat intimidating. It is, but it's not as intimidating as having to give a speech in front of a lot of college kids because they can read you. And, a lot of these speakers, they try to act like, they're like in their 50s or 60s or 70s, and they're acting like they're 21. And everybody that's just weird and gross and creepy and awkward. And so I remember when I was invited to give a commencement address, and I called up Mike Huckabee, and I said, look, you've done a lot of these. Do you have any advice on how do you put together a commencement address? You want to be memorable. And, of course, nobody's ever going to remember anything the commencement address speaker says, maybe except for Donald Trump. And so Huckabee said, just remember this. You and your speech are the only thing between those graduates and getting their diploma and getting the heck out of there. So keep it short. And I did. I think my speech was like 4.5 minutes. Boom, I was out of there. And I don't even remember what I said. But it was a good speech. Everybody seemed to enjoy it. You know why? Because it got right to the point. But the president goes on, and he had a lot to say last night, and he gave some great, This is what I love about the president. He was talking directly to these young people. And here's, he reminded everybody that our founding fathers, and when you look at the founding fathers, you see the powdered wigs. Everybody thinks they're in their 70s and 80s. You had a bunch of, you know, senior citizens out there fighting the British. No, no, no. These were very young people. These were people in their late teens, early 20s, mid-20s that we're talking about here. These are all young folks. And President Trump wanted to talk to the youth of America last night, the graduates. Cut number 7, please.
First, if you're here today and think that you're too young to do something great, let me tell you that you are wrong. You're not too young. You can have great success at a very young age. You're all very young. In America, with drive and ambition, young people can do anything. I was 28 when I took my first big gamble to develop a hotel in Midtown Manhattan, the Grand Hyatt, and it worked out incredibly well. But I was very young at the time. I was like a very young person in sort of an old person business. Steve Jobs was 21 when he founded Apple. Walt Disney was 21 when he founded Disney. James Madison, James Monroe, Alexander Hamilton, Thomas Jefferson. They were no older than 25 when they began the journeys that etched their names into the history books for all time. So to everyone here today, don't waste your youth. Go out and fight right from the beginning, from the day you leave this incredible university. Go out and fight, fight tough, fight fair, but go out and fight. You're going to be very successful because now is the time to work harder than you have ever worked before. Push yourself further than you have ever pushed yourself before. Find your limits and then smash through everything. Go and smash through. You've watched that football team smash through. You're going to do the same thing.
Wow. What a message. What a message, an inspirational message to the young people of America. Not that they're oppressed or, you know, that they've been put upon or that they should be downtrodden or that they're going to have a bad lot in life. President Trump told all those kids, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, I don't know, just about everybody down there in Alabama, told them, you know what? You can be anything you want to be in America, but you got to do what? You got to work hard. You got to work your blessed assurance off, ladies and gentlemen. And if you do that, you know what? You're going to make it in this life. But now is the time to do that, to work hard. I got to tell you, I love work. I love it. I really do. It's something that I enjoy. But it brings great joy to me to know that we're making a difference with this radio show. And I can guarantee you it's going to bring great joy to those young men who lined up to join the armed forces today in South Haven, Mississippi, that they're going to be standing there putting on the uniform of this country and they're going to be defending all of us. They're going to be watching over us, protecting us, keeping us safe, keeping the illegals out of America. It must bring you great joy. Those of you who maybe just left school, maybe you wanted to work an electrician or a plumber, and it must bring you great joy when somebody's having a problem, they have no electricity, and you go and you fix their problem. But that's what the president's talking about, is getting out there. Dream. Not. It's okay to dream a dream, but you got to go out there and make it happen. And that's on you. That's on you. I am curious, what sort of advice would you give a kid graduating either high school or college? What advice would you give them? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Look, today is also Open Line Friday. Man, it's been a fast week. Open Line Friday, an opportunity for you to call in. Whatever you want to talk about today, we will talk about. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece MyTowel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. All right, so late last night, President Trump on his way to Mar-a-Lago. They've got a big Republican gala tonight there at Mar-a-Lago, and the president on Air Force One signing an executive order officially ending all of the federal money going to NPR and PBS. This is huge news, ladies and gentlemen, and I am incredibly thrilled that our tax dollars are no longer being used to fund this anti-American propaganda. And ladies and gentlemen, let me be clear. I have nothing against Big Bird. I have nothing against Oscar the Grouch. I have nothing against Ernie and Bert. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We don't judge here. And I have nothing wrong with Elmo. As a matter of fact, the only issue I have is that if Big Bird wants to be on TV, then Big Bird should pay his own way. And if Elmo wants to be tickled, well, he should find that on his own dime. The American taxpayer should not be tasked with the burden of tickling Elmo or providing for the housing for Bert and Ernie. And again, we don't judge here. I don't know what's going on there. They're lifelong pals. But I want to say something here because people are just in an uproar and in a tizzy over the defunding of NPR and PBS. As a matter of fact, people are now saying that children will not be able to learn how to read. Children of America will be illiterate because we are defunding NPR and PBS. Here's Jake Tapper.
Speaker Johnson has said he would additionally like to cut funding for public broadcasting, PBS, which does receive some support from the federal government. It's interesting. I just have to say, on a personal level, I learned to read by watching Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and The Electric Company. That's literally how I learned to read as a kid. Why do you not think PBS is important?
Well, listen, I'm a member of the DOGE Subcommittee of Oversight. We were tasked with finding waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government and highlighting it. And one of those that we found, which Republicans and conservatives have talked about for decades, is state-sponsored media in the United States. China and North Korea have state-sponsored media. The United States does not need state-sponsored media. Listen, if Fox News or any other conservative news organization came to me and asked for taxpayer money, I would tell them no. And I certainly don't think we should be funding left-wing propaganda outlets like NPR or PBS. I had a hearing just a couple weeks ago where I got to question the head of NPR and ask her about some of the wild, outrageous things that she had been posting on the internet for the whole world to see, and she had no answer for that. The American people are sick of funding institutions who promote values that they find repugnant, and that's what we're doing with NPR and PBS. And that's what we are hopefully soon, via a rescission bill, going to pull those funds back.
All right. So I have a question for Jake Tapper. Wow, really? So he said that he literally learned how to read by watching Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and The Electric Company. That's what he said. Well, I want to call an audible here, and let's go back to Sesame Street. And here is my thought about Jake Tapper. Bull crap. Bull crap. Really, come on. I don't know about you, but my mom My mom taught me how to read. She didn't wait. She didn't just park my butt in front of Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or the electric company and say, have at it. Is Jake Tapper saying that his mother would just shoved him in front of a TV and what did she do, just drink martinis all day? Come on. I don't believe it. Well, we were able to go through, and I want you to listen to some of the things that we have discovered about NPR. And again, keep in mind that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, I thought the administration did a brilliant job here of laying out the true issue. And the issue is not that they're anti-American radicals, which they are, but that's not the overarching issue. The overarching issue is they are disobeying, they are violating the rules that were set forward for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They're supposed to be non-political. They're supposed to be impartial. They're not supposed to be taking one side over the other. And there is very clear evidence that that's exactly what they've been doing. As a matter of fact, an NPR editor found that registered Democrats outnumbered Republicans 87-0. Zero. There are no Republicans at NPR. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, did President Trump do the right thing here by defunding NPR and PBS? 901-260-5926. We're going right to the phones after this break. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, America.
When it comes to life on the go, there's no better companion than SunPass Pro. The list of states where it works keeps growing, which means it's always a great time to hit the road and get going. You'll be amazed at the freedom it gives you for just $14.95 and enjoy all of the sights along your scenic drive. It will save you an average of 25%, cheaper tolls and airport parking. Now that's money well spent. Enjoy more drives with SunPass Pro, a great option for life on the go. Visit sunpass.com today.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines here. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas, has some advice for graduates. Hi, Steve. What's your advice?
Hey, Todd. This is advice I would give any young adult starting into adulthood. I'm going to give 3 points of, to me, equal importance, but they're very broad. And number one is choose a career that suits your personality and skill set and realize that it's going to be it's the long game. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Work you out a life plan for that, for your career and stick to it. Number two is don't dig any holes that you can stay away from, that you have to work yourself out of. And what I mean by holes are bad decisions, getting crossways with the law, drugs, alcohol, bad relationships, anything you can stay away from that you have control over, because life's going to furnish you plenty of holes that you have to get out of just going through life. So don't do any of that intentionally. And my third thing is stay away from bad debt. Debt should be an investment. You shouldn't borrow money on anything that's not an investment that's either going to gain in value or it's going to be a tool or something you can use to further your career and further your status. And that's kind of my 3 pieces of advice for young people to look at.
Well, I think that is terrific advice, Steve, and especially the debt part, because that can really get you, especially these college kids getting their very first, their very first car, their very first credit card, and that could be a challenge.
I see so many young people, the first thing they borrow money for is a toy, an ATV, something that's not a necessity. It's not something that's going to make them any money. It's something that's going to, when the minute they take it out of the dealership, it's worth half of what they paid for. And that's their first experience with debt.
Let me tell you something, Steve. That is so true. You buy that car brand spanking new, the second you drive that off the lot, it's already depreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, good advice. Thank you for that. Let's go to Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I had a friend that was supposed to, he kept some friends in Secret Service. They were supposed to be that that speech with Trump yesterday, but he was unable to do it. He couldn't get there. He had to babysit. But two things I want to touch on. This thing with Letitia James, you know, which he's guilty of, and I've said this over the years, everything they are guilty of, you know, Trump needs to check. Whenever somebody blames Trump for something or they accuse him of something, they need to run background checks and go after those people that are accusing them, because most of the time they're guilty of whatever they put on Trump, and they've got the playbook to back that up to do it. So that was my first thing. And my second thing was this thing with Zelensky and the meeting in Rome. I knew what happened that day when he had that meeting, and I was going to call you, but nobody's really brought it up. I knew that he was negotiating a deal with Zelensky because he couldn't get it done in Washington because of the corrupt politicians that got a hold of him before he could talk to Trump. So Trump was smart by taking him to the side and having that conversation, and look what happened a couple days later. He brokered the deal.
Well, he did. And look, with Donald Trump, you just got to step back and let the man work his magic. It may not make sense. It may be infuriating. You may think he's off his rocker, but every single time, Mark, Donald Trump turns out to do the right thing.
Yeah, but you notice how nobody mentioned why he took him to the side to have that conversation by himself? He did it because he knew the Democrats would have tried sabotaging Zelensky before he got into Trump.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, you got to listen to me. We're going to make this work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mark, good stuff. Great insight. By the way, Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, actually thinking about booting Letitia James. The accusations against her, incredibly strong. So Letitia James could find herself in some serious legal hot water. Getting some blowback on our social media feeds from people who are saying that PBS is not anti-American, that PBS is exactly what America needs. Meanwhile, David writes in, Todd, NPR, PBS are extremely anti-American. They promote radical far-left ideology. Yes, David, I agree with you there. He says they have more in common with communists than with America. Anybody who says they're not anti-American, in 2021, ladies and gentlemen, NPR actually declared the Declaration of Independence to be a document with flaws and deeply ingrained hypocrisies. They hated our founding documents. All right, let's go to our good buddy. This has been a long time. Our good friend Ben from over in Morehead City, North Carolina territory, from WTKF, our great station, the talk station. Ben, it's been a long time, my friend.
Yes, Todd, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, as you know, I've spent most of my life in radio, and I have a. I think there's an issue beyond politics for the for not funding NPR and PBS. I can speak really only to the NPR side, radio side. But you may know this, back in the, I think it was as late as the 90s, mid-90s or so, public radio stations and non-commercial stations, including religious stations, were not included in the Arbitron ratings. Then they started to be included, and we saw the NPR stations buying the Arbitron reports. Why? Because they needed it to sell sponsorships. So if they're selling sponsorships based on ratings, which is what every other commercial radio station does, and that means they're competing in the marketplace, so why do we pick winners and losers with our federal tax dollars for those who are competing in the marketplace?
Ben, I did not realize that, but I did notice when I bought KWAM and the people at Nielsen convinced us to sign up and subscribe. And we're not allowed to share, you know, details of that. But I can tell you, it is a massively expensive venture to do. And quite frankly, it's not worth the single penny. But that's a conversation for another day. But then I noticed, you're right, I noticed, wait a second, why are the NPR station, why are they listed here? What's up with that? How can they afford that?
Well, it would be like saying, again, like K-Lub or your non-commercial stations, if you should be allowed a government grant, then if NPR is.
It's a fair point. I am curious, Ben, and I remember watching Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers when I was a little kid. This was back in the 70s. I think Sesame Street had just started, so that tells you how old I am. But I am curious, was there ever a time that PBS and NPR were actually true to their original mission?
You know, that's a very good question. I think it would take a broadcast historian to really track that down. But I think my point is that if they are competing in the marketplace with everyone else, plus they can get foundational grants, which has the tax advantage for the foundations. They can receive other monies too. Why should they receive any tax dollars? I don't think they should receive a dime.
I'm with you on that, but I will say this now: as the owner of a commercial radio station, it would be like owning a Chick-fil-A franchise, and then the government saying, "You know what? We're gonna start our own franchise chicken joint, and you're gonna have to pay for it." I'm like, come on. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Ben, are you doing well? It's been a long time. Do you miss the radio gig?
Well, you know, I did it for a long, long time, almost 50 years. And then I went to work for Congressman Greg Murphy, who's a great guy. And I worked for him on the lower staff level. And we still are in touch. But I've retired from that. I retired from my pulpit, although I'm helping my old church find a pastor. And still have my hands in things.
I love it.
But I'm technically retired.
Well, it's good hearing from you. Good hearing your voice, and don't be a stranger.
All right, Todd.
All right, the great Ben Ball, ladies and gentlemen. I got to meet him years ago when we did the big book signing in Moorhead City. And what a nice guy. What an incredible radio station out there. Good, good folks out there in Moorhead City, North Carolina. We love you guys. By the way, Bill just chimed in on our Facebook page, and I wanted to bring something up here. I saw this last night. There's a lot of fake news about President Trump and a massive military parade, and the media is saying that President Trump is holding a massive military parade for himself on June 14th. That is not true, and I know Bill writes and says Kansas City TV5. Is misleading people, and they're saying that President Trump is holding the parade for himself. That is simply not true. It just so happens that President Trump's birthday coincides with the Army's 250th birthday celebration. So that's what's going on here. And again, this shows you how bad the mainstream media is. You cannot trust them at all. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones, and then we've got to take a quick break here. Gainesville, Georgia. Martin wants to weigh in on public broadcasting. Hey, Martin, what you got for us?
Good afternoon, Todd. Great to talk to you. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Yeah, back when I was younger, I always enjoyed Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and those kind of programs. But then again, it was like a week every 3 or 4 months, they would have a big telethon. So you would actually get, you know, commercial time for people to call in to donate to support Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and Masterpiece Theater, things they were grabbing from BBC. And I don't see that anymore on public broadcasting. It seemed like they were getting more of the funding from donations. And they were out there really, you know, trying to get the donations.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that at least in the Memphis area, they're still doing all of that. But, yeah, they're getting tens of millions of dollars in funding. And it puzzles me because, again, you just heard our previous caller who was in the radio industry for a long time. And if they are running and if those radio stations carry the Nielsen numbers, the only reason for them to spend that much money for the Nielsen numbers, Martin, is because they're looking for advertisers. Those national advertising accounts rely on the Nielsen numbers. So that tells me something is not right. There's something fishy going on in the public broadcasting at the local level.
I totally agree with you. Totally.
I mean, that's the only reason. And honestly, you know, we eventually opted out of it because it just, I mean, it made no sense to us because the amount of money, it is so massive. So for when I see a non-commercial, and especially like a Christian radio station, and they're doing that, I'm like, really? At that point, just be honest and become a commercial radio station. All right? Otherwise, you're really cheating the system.
Right, right. And most of the broadcasting that I've heard lately, including your show that is broadcast to multiple radio stations, most of the programming on our local station is things like that. We get a lot. I'm pretty sure WDUN gets a lot of their compensation from local commercials, local businesses, not the national stuff.
Oh, well, they're a for-profit, and by the way, they have a massive audience, and they're a for-profit radio station. So it should, and I'm not going to speak for the owners of WDUN, but it should bother every radio station owner in America should be outraged that their tax dollars are being used to prop up NPR and PBS. I mean, it's really that simple. And honestly, if they're having trouble paying their bills, stop giving away so many tote bags. I mean, that's pretty simple. All right, Mark.
Thanks for your time, buddy.
Martin, thank you so much for calling in. Don't be a stranger. We love our first-time callers. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
For over 40 years, family-owned Reflections in Gold has been Venice's trusted jeweler. Why? Because they do things differently. Their unmatched customer service means they'll bend over backward to earn your trust. Hi, it's Lulu, and Reflections in Gold has the hottest top brands in jewelry. Or they'll craft a stunning custom design just for you. Need a repair? Their in-house experts will restore your favorite pieces guaranteed. Find them on Tamiami Trail in Venice or at ReflectionsInGold.com. Reflections in Gold, a reflection of your dreams in every piece.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is Open Line Friday. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to, is it Tanya in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Did I get your name correct?
Yes, you did.
All right, Tanya, what's going on?
Well, I just have a couple comments about my tax dollars funding PBS. You know, wouldn't there be quite the outcry if our tax dollars were used to maybe fund, remember Rush Limbaugh's educational series, Freedom and the Horse, and all that, and maybe we could just support his whole entire radio program. Can you imagine the outcry on that one? And so it's the same thing. If you're going to use tax dollars for PBS, then you're going to have to use tax dollars for the exact opposite on the conservative side. And then who is that guy you had on from one of the liberal medias that said he learned how to read by watching PBS?
Yes, CNN's Jake Tapper.
Oh, typical of Jake. Anyway, if he learned that in front of the TV set, then why do we have public school? Because our kids aren't learning how to read it at all. So let's just let them sit at home and watch PBS, which is totally outrageous. So those are my 2 points. We should not be funding this kind of stuff.
Tanya, it gets even worse. And are you ready for this? Brace yourself, Tanya. So I've been doing a little bit of homework, and in Memphis, Tennessee, and you're going to have to do this for your own hometown, all right? But in Memphis, Tennessee, not only are the tax dollars being used to support the local NPR station and the local PBS station, but the city of Memphis has its own TV and radio station. And they have full-time employees. We're paying for that. Did you know that the Memphis Shelby County school system here has its own radio station and TV station? I think they have 19 full-time people working on that, and it's all paid by our tax dollars. So we're funding all sorts, and by the way, it's all left-leaning nonsense. So, Tanya, I guarantee you this is happening in other cities around the country.
Yeah, you know, Salem is a hop, skip, and a jump away from Portland, so you can't shock me. You really can't. But this is why our children are not learning anything, and they're walking down the street in front of their phones, walking into telephone poles. This is why.
It's true. And then they keep walking. They don't understand why the pole won't move. It's true.
It's very true.
And anyway,
I see a lot of hope. I see a lot of hope, and I'm sure that we're going to turn this trip around, so hopefully quickly.
Tanya, I have no doubt about that. I am very excited about where Donald Trump is taking this country. And look, I don't know if he's going to run for a third term. Maybe he doesn't need to. Maybe he's training up the next great America First conservative. But it's going to take some more years for us to get out of the big mess that Obama and Biden put the country in. And quite frankly, you have to throw George W. Bush in there as well, fighting wars we had no business fighting. So it's going to take a little while, and I appreciate the efforts of President Trump. Tanya, thank you for calling in, and give us a holler back. I like the way you think. But ladies and gentlemen, during the break, just take a look around your city hall, your website, and see if they actually have a TV and a radio station, or your local school board. By the way, and these are not training grounds for young kids. The employees are all grown adults. Again, more taxpayer-funded propaganda, and we got to put a stop to all of it. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
So apparently, our tax dollars have been used to help alpaca farmers in Peru. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Friday to you. Also, apparently, our money's being used to promote the marketability of peas, like green peas, in Guatemala. That is the correct pronunciation. I think the G is silent, like guacamole. Anyway, this is the latest coming from the Doge boys, and they say, sure enough, we've been spending a lot of money. I want to go to this cut before we go to our awesome guest here. Number three, please.
I think the Inter-American Foundation, IAF, is one of the agencies we visited where, they get $50 million a year, congressional money, to give grants. These are things like, alpaca farming in Peru, improving them.
That's a real example.
Yes, that's the real description. Improving the marketability of peas in Guatemala.
Really?
Guatemala.
Yes.
What? Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
So you might expect, in the private sector, a nonprofit to give, 80 to 90% of their money to grantees. In the case of IAF, that was 58%. So the other half goes towards management, travel.
Yeah. What do you find exactly, Ethan's example is that even if you agreed with supporting alpaca farmers in Peru, actually, most of the money never made it out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
It's going into the pockets of people in the neighborhood.
What percentage?
And they didn't even get to Peru.
Right. So what percentage do you think doesn't even get to the destination it's supposed to?
I believe the GAO estimate, so this is not our estimate, I believe it was on the order of only 10 to 15 cents on the dollar actually gets to the end recipient, whether you agree with
that
cause or
not. Insane. That's insane. It's all a racket, ladies and gentlemen. I want to bring in our national correspondent, Robin Poffman, joining us today. Robin, now you are officially christened our national alpaca correspondent.
I'm going to buy like a cool outfit and a backpack and put a couple of pennies in it because that's all I'm going to get from the government. Here's the thing, Todd. I absolutely loved watching this on Jesse Waters' show on Fox News last night. I thought it was fascinating to see the actual people on the Doge team with Elon. Here's the problem. I think your listeners know about waste because we've been onto it since the Clinton era. Do you remember back in the day that 60 Minutes piece and they were trying to track down money from the Clinton Foundation back in the 90s and they went to some foreign country in the third world, and Scott Pelley is standing on a mound of dirt where there's supposed to be a girls' school. So in terms of the Republicans and the conservatives and the center-right audience, we know about all this, right? But if you go up to anyone you know who's a Democrat, a liberal, a progressive, and you say, hey, did you see that about the Doge team? Or did you hear the cut that you just played on the Todd Starnes show? They just look at you like you're a mental case, because these people have been kept in the dark by the mainstream media on these topics. I saw somebody and spoke to somebody just the other day who didn't know who Lakin Riley was, sadly the 22-year-old nursing student who was murdered at the University of Georgia in Athens. And I'm thinking to myself, what TV do you watch? And the answer is like Wheel of Fortune and the ABC Evening News and with David Muir. And they don't know. Now, listen, there is nothing wrong with Wheel of Fortune. Don't get me wrong. But if you stay tuned and you watch the David Muir news all over the country, ABC World News Tonight, the former Peter Jennings outfit, you don't get these stories, because the other producers and the reporters and the management there, these stories are not in the rundown, Todd.
Not at all, Robin. And it's a great reminder. We were talking about this a few days ago with regard to this fake news polling out there. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the mainstream networks, and that's where most Americans still get their news, by an overwhelming majority, most Americans get their news from that, ABC, CBS, NBC, and therefore they're really not learning the actual truth about what's happening in the country.
It's scary to me, and I know these people personally. Some of them are family members. Some of them are friends. And unless you move in with me for a week and watch the TV shows that I watch, that you watch, the radio shows, the podcasts that I listen to, this show that I listen to, your show, you're not getting the information. And it makes me think about my great grandparents in communist Russia in 1907, and when they came over to this country on the boat to Ellis Island. And that was the reason why, because the government is controlling the information. What the Doge team, getting back to that, is doing is absolutely fabulous. And this, I think of Hope and Change and that bumper sticker during the Obama years, right, in 2007, 2008. Hope and change, hope and change. Well, where real hope and real change is happening? Right now in the Doge team under the direction of Donald Trump. That's my hope and change. I mean, you see him giving these speeches, cabinet meetings, all the transparency. You talk about ripping off the Band-Aid and just letting it all hang out of all this government corruption. I love the fact that Donald Trump had 4 years to sit at Mar-a-Lago and play golf and think through all of this, because, boy, he has been implementing like no one we have ever seen or ever will see again.
It's really extraordinary. And to see the amount of work that's been accomplished just in the first 100 and, some odd days now, this has truly been remarkable. I want to switch gears if we can. And by the way, I forgot to tell you. So the kid you heard in the first that soundbite about the alpaca farming, that's Big Balls. We got to know who Big Balls was.
So that is exciting, right? Because we've heard about this for weeks and now we've seen this kid.
Isn't it funny? You got a bunch of young kids and they went in there and they were able to root out all of this. All of this crime and grift, and it's just unbelievable the amount of money that was going out the door. And not even to the poor alpaca farmers in Peru. It was probably Hunter Biden.
It's possible. Todd, I need to add one thing to this. There's been a lot of talk, and I'm on the recipient. I've been receiving a lot of emails from people that are very upset about the 9/11, the fund for all of those of us who have had there and are sick was being cut. I really think that agency, there's a lot of waste and fraud there. And I think that needs to be looked at. I'm going to be contacting a congressman I know who is actually working on the Doge team. I believe Congressman Brian Jack out of Georgia. And just say, hey, listen, this thing needs to be refunded as a separate bill, not in the big, beautiful bill, but a separate matter. and you've got to go through this thing and get rid of all these fraudsters, just like in COVID. There's a lot of waste at that World Trade Center. People have received money that were A, never there, and B, who aren't sick, sadly.
Mm. Robin Poffman, our national correspondent on our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Robin, I know you've covered crime news for many, many years, and I wanted to get your take on Kilmar Abrego-Garcia. There's a couple of new videos that have come out, and I want to play some audio for you from 2020. And this is Abrego-Garcia's wife. And there have been a lot of allegations. Of course, the media has been providing cover saying that this is not true, that he's not a wife beater. But now we have the audio evidence. You're going to be hearing the voice of Garcia's wife begging a judge for protection from her husband. Let's listen.
Abrego-Garcia's wife pleaded with a judge for protection from her own husband. A warning, the audio is difficult for some younger viewers especially to hear. Watch and listen.
He grabbed me from my hair and then he slapped me. I have pictures of the evidence, like all the bruises, because it's not, even on Wednesday, he hit me like around like 3 a.m. He would just wake up and like hit me. He slapped me 3 times. And then last week I did call the police. My sister called the police because he hit me in front of my sister.
His wife responded to the audio with the statement, "My husband was traumatized from the time he spent in ICE detention and we were in the throes of COVID. Like many couples, we were caring for our children with barely enough to get by. All of those factors contributed to the actions which caused me to seek the protective order."
Robin, I don't get it. Why, the Democrats know all this. You know, they're not stupid. So why are they still treating this guy like he's George Floyd Jr.?
Because for the same reason, because they know that the CNN, MSNBC, AP, Associated Press, and the nightly news, it'll get no coverage. There's also some video clip that I saw that you see him in his car. You know, there's also in the car, in addition to this accusation with the wife, two times that she went to the police, in addition to what you just played, there's this whole thing about the stopping of the arrest, and he's got $1,400 in cash payments, allegedly from who he was trafficking across the country, from Texas to Maryland. I mean, that's the whole story we don't have enough time to get into. But the point is, the video, they amazingly found it. You think you're seeing that on the CBS Evening News? You think you're going to see that on 60 Minutes on Sunday? Absolutely not. Can you imagine that this is the hill they're going to die on, the Democrats? A guy who's a complete thug. He's an illegal alien monster. He abused his wife. God knows who else he abused. I mean, this guy had no business being here in this country, and he reminds me and looks like the same person who, in fact, when I see his picture, I think of Lake and Riley's attacker, because they could be brothers or cousins. So this person has no business here in this country or any country. He belongs locked up in prison at Gitmo. Yeah. And I can't believe that this is the hill that the Dems are going to die on. They have nothing. The Democrats have no ideas going forward. That's their biggest problem.
Robin, they're completely bankrupt of ideas. Here's how bad it is. And This says a lot. I actually feel bad for James Carville, because he actually surrendered and basically apologized to that little thug, David Hogg, who's really a piglet. This guy, it's just shocking to me that, and it shows you that even a common sense, don't get me wrong, Carville is a liberal Democrat, but he is a shrewd political operative. But it looks like even he has surrendered and is bowing down at the feet of these radical progressives.
Well, that kid is supposedly going to be running the Democrat Party and putting AOC up there. That's what I'm hearing. And then you have, you know, Mr. Carville, who's, you know, been around since Moses came down with the tablets.
Now, Robin, what are you doing talking about my age like that? I'm a spring chicken. A spring chicken.
You don't know this, but I've been in there back in the day when they lived in this really nice house off of St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans. I was in that home because Mary, his wife, used to fill in for me in my old talk show in New Orleans. Here, they have that for a nugget. So I was there for a party, and they had a gorgeous home. And the bottom line is that he's been around forever, and he does know. He can read polls, by the way. Unlike other people who are making up polls, he can see right through the fraud of the polls and really see how low
Chuck Schumer is polling, what is it, up to 17%?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you know, if the left is saying that it's 17%, it's in reality, it's more like 5%. So, yeah, he knows what's going on. So he's trying to make up with this young kid who's apparently the next young star, Gen Z, of the Democrat Party. I don't think it's going to work. I think the best thing, I'm with Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. I'm with her. Yesterday she ended the news conference with, come on, Kamala, keep talking, or, you know, that's our best hope, is for Kamala Harris to run for governor of California, because there's going to be more. If it's not, if the noose of regulation isn't around the necks of the people trying to do business out there and refurbish their homes from fires, et cetera, she will literally send California right off the cliff.
Oh,
she would be worse than Newsom.
Yes, yes. Robert, we got to leave it there. I want to bring this around full circle, though. We were able to get some intel on the alpacas, and we've discovered that the alpacas really enjoy human interaction, but they say they are not as cuddly as the same way as cats are. So if you get an alpaca, you're not supposed to cuddle with the alpaca.
I've never been into the whole animal thing, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know how you feel about cats. I know.
I mean, I had Chumley the Basset Hound as a kid, so that's, we're going to leave it right there.
Chumley the Basset Hound. I love it. All right.
I'll have to dig up a picture.
You're like our Dr. Doolittle. Robin Poffman, everybody. Robin, always good hearing from you. Take care, my friend.
All right. Love you.
All right. There you go. You know, I would not necessarily recommend cuddling an alpaca, only because they weigh about 200 pounds. I mean, that's a lot of alpaca. I'm just saying. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. It's Open Line Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so Kamala Harris is back, and she's trying. This is like Kamala Harris 2.0, and I'm not sure it's going to be working, but Kamala Harris is trying to maintain her black joy. This is, what about the Indian joy? Whatever happened to that? You know, when she first, like, blasted onto the scene, Kamala Harris was all about the first Indian-American this, Indian-American that. And now, well, she's, you know, changed in mid-course, but Kamala is now on a search for her black joy.
So how are you in this moment maintaining your black joy?
Listen, I feel very blessed. I have an incredible husband who is here right now. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Doug. An incredible circle of friends who are family. And I think it's just important to be with, you know, those people who love you and care about you and get you.
Have you learned the boots on the ground dance yet?
I have not. I you know what? I know. Will you teach me?
I will.
Okay, I'm serious. We can do it together.
You serious?
I'm very serious.
Okay, we will get this after
okay.
that.
Okay.
All right, sway. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Now cross.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Give me the collard greens in the bathtub.
I knew you would get it. I'm going to grab these two beers because you just learned it. Been trying all day. That was good.
Oh, okay. That's a little cringy. So the video there, Kamala Harris learning a new dance craze, and it's called the boots on the ground. Is that what it's called? We're going to try this later in the show, Dylan. I want to give this a shot. I am a Baptist, so my rhythm's not that great, but I think I could do this.
I'm a former Baptist, so I'm not really too close behind you.
All right. So it's called Boots on the Ground.
Boots on the Ground.
It's an actual song.
Yeah.
All right. So, and it's popular. Is this like a nationwide, or is this a cultural thing? Because I don't want to appropriate.
I think it's nationwide. I think we're
okay.
I think we're safe.
Good stuff. We're going to give this a shot. All right. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. We're going to the phones. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Golly. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I just found out one of my favorite coffee places is shutting down. This is sad. So look, one of the things I really hate about Democrats is that they don't care about small businesses. They really don't. And they care more about gangbangers and the criminals. Our mayor in Memphis literally invited gangbangers to have tea and coffee at City Hall. Meanwhile, crime is off the charts, and the latest news from downtown, the Daily Memphian just shared this story. Bluff City Coffee in downtown Memphis is shutting down after two decades on South Main Street, and they're refusing to comment. And I get it, because the reason why all these shops are shutting down and businesses and restaurants in downtown Memphis is because of the crime. And nobody's coming downtown, so therefore you don't have a lot of customers, so you just have a lot of homeless people, drug addicts, and criminals. And most of them are not wanting to, you know, spend money at a coffee shop. They want to either steal the money or, you know, shoot up in your bathroom. I'm just telling you. So I hate it for Bluff City Coffee. My recommendation to all these restaurant owners and the restaurants associations and all these cities around the nation, you guys need to rise up and just hear me on this. I get it. You're Democrats. I get it. You're liberals. Just give the Republicans a chance. Just give them a chance and see what happens. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio show. 901-260-5926. Before we go to our next guest, I want to play some audio here. This is from North Carolina. A school board member literally speaking out against prayer.
If you put prayer at the beginning of this meeting, I don't think that's a welcoming sign to the people who were in this room tonight. And so this, to me, is very disturbing because I think it sends the wrong message that we're trying to communicate. And frankly, we are not in the business of faith or religion. That's not what we do.
For these reasons and more, I respectfully make a motion to include an invocation to our agenda and meetings moving forward.
This board prays. This board prays before every meeting if you choose to be a part of it. How much prayer do you need? How much God do you need? We say under God. We say it. Why do we need to say more? I don't know what Mr. Marshall is praying about. Is he telling you how to vote? Is he telling you what to believe? He used to send us all emails. I requested to be off the list because I was offended by some of the things that he was saying.
We have a national day of prayer. We have In God We Trust on our money, and we pledge allegiance to one nation under God.
Everyone who's sitting here still now are professionals. They come to work to dedicate their lives to children. They didn't come here to pray with you. If you want to pray with them, take them to church.
Wow. I want to go to our old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Melanie Freeman joins us. She's the lady you heard, a school board member, making the motion to add an invocation to the beginning of the local school board meetings, which seems like a pretty reasonable thing to do. And Melanie joins us live now. Melanie, help me. Tell me the name of the county. I want to make sure I get this right, in North Carolina.
We are in Cabarrus County, which is a county that is adjacent to Mecklenburg County. So we usually get a lot of Mecklenburg County people living here in our county.
So Cabarrus County, and that's so the godless heathens are coming from Mecklenburg. Is that pretty? Is it because this is a nasty woman right here? Who is this woman that we heard that was so riled up against God in prayer?
This is Council Board Member Pam Escobar. She has been on the board for a couple of years, and she will have to be voted on again in about 18 months.
All right, so this woman, very upset because you wanted to add an invocation to the beginning of the meeting. Why did you want to do that? Why is it important to start the meeting with a word of prayer?
I made no
made no bones about that I was running as a Christian. It was on my son. I believe is what we still are as a country, and I don't know why the invocation was ever removed, because I believe if you go back far enough, you will find an invocation on almost all of our municipalities and things. And in fact, most of them still have them. The Harrisburg Town Council has an invocation there in Cabarrus County. The other municipalities also do. Our county commissioners also do. I just did not see why we did not have one. And I felt that it was important. If it's been important in our country's history to seek God's wisdom, and then I think we definitely need it for our children.
Were you surprised by the response from Ms. Escobar?
Not really. We had met of course across campaign lines, and just I want to make it very clear because I don't speak for anybody else on the board. This is me personally, and this is what I wanted to see brought back into our school board. So it will go through a policy. It will be voted on. This is not something that I'm going to shove down anybody's throat. It's going to be discussed. And as you can see, I knew there would be resistance because anytime you put back something that somebody has taken out, the struggle is much harder. And I was prepared.
Well, absolutely. I think it's absolutely a reasonable thing to do. I'm curious, Melanie, where things stand. Do you have the votes to push this thing through?
Yes, we have a 5-2 Republican Democrat split on our board, and it will go to policy for them to write a policy about it and how it will be conducted. It will then come back to the board, as I understand it. And I just to let you know, I'm new on the board. I've only been here about 3-4 months. So as I understand things, it will come back to the board. We will hear the policy, which comes from the policy committee. We might add some tweaks to it, might change some wordings. It will go back to the policy committee. And then at that time, it will be voted on as policy.
Wow. Melanie, let me say this. I mean, 3 or 4 months? That did not take you long to trigger the liberals. Well done, you.
Well, I am not a young chicken. And so I don't have a lot of time to mess around. And to be quite honest, our children have been waiting a long time for somebody to get in here and care about where the trends in our education are going. And if not now, when?
It's, you know what, that's a great point. And I know that I'm hearing people shouting all over the nation, and especially in Memphis, Tennessee, where our show is based. And last night, the Republican Party in Shelby County, which is the largest city, the largest county in Tennessee, finally voted to have partisan school board races so we know who we are going to be electing. And so we don't know what the Democrats are going to do, but I can tell you this, Melanie, people here in Western Tennessee are going to know if those people are truly Republicans or not. And I think I'm so happy to hear that you guys have a 5-2 GOP majority there on the school board. I suspect it's really going to make a difference.
Well, we also had our school board change to partisan this time. This was our first election to be partisan. Before, it was nonpartisan. There will also hopefully be a referendum in the county, or maybe the state, to put all races partisan, because, as you said,
it does give some people a basis for where this person has their foundation. And to be quite honest, school board races are usually on the very back of the ballot. By the time people have done any research, they're tired by the time they get to school board. So it really gives people a heads up of where these people's morals and their values land. Well,
and we certainly got to see where Miss Escobar stands on all of that, and shame on her. Melanie, thank you for calling in, and we really appreciate our buddy Jim Quick. He connected us, and they're doing great stuff there with the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. And you guys keep fighting the good fight and standing up for those kids.
Thank you. We definitely will.
All right. Melanie Freeman, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, what a story out of North Carolina. But you heard, I mean, that was a godless heathen woman that was shouting in that audio. Just unacceptable. But again, yet another reminder in North Carolina of what happens, and you heard Melanie say this is the first time they've gone to partisan school board races, Republicans with a 5-2 majority. Had they not done that, they would have probably booted God right out of the school system. So all that to say, well done, Republican listeners of the Todd Starnes Radio Show in Memphis, Tennessee. You guys packed out that meeting last night. I want to give a very special thank you to Worth Morgan, the chairman of the Shelby County Republican Party, a guy by the name of Justin Johnson, two great ladies, Kristen New, Kristen Hicks, and Luke Symbol. They were leading the charge for 2 years. 2 years they fought for partisan school board races. And some of the fiercest and ugliest opposition came from members of their own party. But you know what? They stood tall and they won the day. What's the lesson here, ladies and gentlemen? You have to persevere. You just have to persevere. All right. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 901-260-5926. Barry in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a few things. I'll try to run through it quick. I listened to you. I miss Ben. He was doing a great job in the morning. I'm sorry we lost him. But anyways, something real quick I want to throw out and a couple other things. Liberty Bowl, I went to the Liberty Bowl this past fall. I mean, winter compliments to you. I had two tickets, and we enjoyed the game. Security was good. Well, we had nosebleed seats, and I'm 76 years old now, and they were, I don't know what they're spending money on renovation, but they were way up there, and we had help walking up to our seats, but I hope they consider that when they're doing the, we're right by the big Jumbotron, and I wanted to kind of skip over that, but I'll just throw that out there. I was listening to a lady just talk to on Charlotte. And that's a Charlotte area that people might not know. I've traveled a lot and think she's from Charlotte area, which is a big city. You know, it's a banking capital of the South pretty much now.
It is indeed.
Yeah. And what I wanted to throw out is we talked earlier about NPR, PBS. And we watch, my girlfriend got me watching all these British shows, All Creatures Great and Small, Midsummer Murders, and something midlife, Vienna Blood. They have some good programming. But then their news is strictly anti-Trump, hate the right, like PBS News are, and the poor. And I wrote them a letter, and they, of course, they didn't answer me, but I told them I'll never donate any money to WKNO as long as they keep having all these partisan news shows. And, you know, that's the issue. I know we were talking about PBS and NPR, PBS, and, you know, we can't keep politics out of their programming. And they have some good programming, but, you know, you watch it, and then they throw these, you got to turn it off because you can't watch the stuff that they have on there.
That's it. And they're just not honest about it. But, again, the issue is there are plenty of other ways for people to get their news. And there's no reason why we should have a government-funded, you know, news agency, a state news agency. That's not who we are. And I know, you know, here on this program, on the radio station I own, we are coming at things from a very conservative perspective. And we're open and honest about that. We want people to know that. We're never going to mislead you. But the news that we share and the kinds of stories we cover are coming from a conservative and Christian worldview. And I think if NPR and PBS would have at least been honest about that, maybe it would be a little bit more understandable. But the fact that they continue to deny that, that's just unacceptable. Barry, I've got to run. Thank you for that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go real quick to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee. And Justin, I just gave you a nice little shout out there on the radio.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't get to hear that, but I was just jumping in my car, running some errands. And I just wanted to call and just thank, you know, Todd Starnes is the national radio host, but also your local radio station, KWAM. We would have never flipped that, the Shelby GOP where they would have actually allowed us to have partisan school boards and to have transparency if it wasn't for the grassroots effort through your radio station, just reporting the issues that the local legacy media would never let us know about, you know, trying to get rid of Easter or the different issues that they've had, the social issues. So just thank you, Todd, for being there, and thank you being a radio station for the conservatives.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Justin, and I just truly believe that radio is so vitally important, and it will be even more important after President Trump leaves office, because it's the one platform where we can have a voice, people can call in, we can talk about the big issues of the day, and locally owned radio stations are the most important broadcasting organizations in the country right now, because they have the ability to tell the unfiltered truth of what's going on. And we try to do that in Memphis. I know WDUN does that in Georgia, KYKN. I mean, the list goes on and on. Patriot Talk 920. There's so many of our great affiliates that do that every single day, and we're just so blessed. Justin, thank you for that. I got to run, my friend, and we appreciate your great support and listening to the show. Well, you know, Newsmax just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans are joining our news revolution. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. John Schneider is going to be joining us from the Kentucky Derby. Reuters says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America. President Trump loves it. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax, and the audience continues to grow 50%. Since the same time last year, millions are making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, you can call your advisor and get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com so you can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. Now, this communication, for informational purposes only, shall not be intended to and shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. All right, folks, stick around. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to do Kentucky Derby trivia. I have some great trivia questions, a chance for you to win some great prizes. So you're going to stick around for that. Miss Patty's on the line, so we got to talk to her. Lines open, by the way, on Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America, wherever you might be across this great nation. Hope you're doing well today. By the way, it is Open Line Friday. That means you call in. You can talk about whatever is on your mind today. Our telephone number, write this down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Real quick, before we go to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line, want to bring in our good friend from Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, you should already be, like, crowned the queen, coronated the queen of Statesville.
Aw, why do you say that?
Well, you're,
what's up with you?
Well, I'm trying to be nice, Patty. That's, you know.
No, I know. You're a nice guy. Hey, listen. I just, you know what? God's throwing me a curveball. Guess what? I think I'll be okay, though. You know what? I think God, when you get thrown curveballs, I think God loves you. Am I right?
Well, you know what? It's sometimes life throws curveballs at you. But you know what? It's during those moments that I've discovered in my life that God is there. And he's going to carry you through the tough days.
Oh, yeah. I you know what? And it's so funny because I'll be fine. Listen, my father is looking down at me. I'm fine. I'm having a little bit of trouble. I have a little bit of cancer in my pancreas, okay?
All right, Patty, I want you to know, people, I can tell you right now that our entire audience, they love you, and we love our whole audience, and many of you call in, and most of you do not. But Patty, I can tell you right now that I can promise you there are thousands of people that are going to be praying for you.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, Todd, because you know what? I'm not afraid of dying. It's not the point of that. You know what? It can't be any worse than what the hell we're doing with here, right? My God. You know, I'll just miss the word salad with her elephant, huh? Yeah, so anyway, you know what? I have to joke, because if I keep the jokes, I feel better. You know, I can't let myself down, right, Todd?
No, you can't do that. But you know what? It's okay. You know, we all go through tough times, and it's okay to have those rough days, no doubt about it. But you've got good doctors, it sounds like?
I have great
good
doctors. I got, you know how this came about? It is the crazy part. I never go to doctor. I'm not a doctor person. But I just turned 65 on March 31st. Okay, Todd? So my kids always yell at me. I always say, it's not going to happen to me, right? I always like try. But I went to, and I had endoscopy, and I had the other thing done. You know what I'm talking about.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, so that's when they found it. They found the spot on my pancreas.
But they found are they working up a plan with you?
I just had my first chemo yesterday.
Okay.
I have 4 weeks to go.
Well, Patty, I'm going to tell you something. I know something about you. You're a tough bird, Patty, and I know that you're a fighter. And I have no doubt that you're going to fight this thing. And it sounds like you've got great doctors there in North Carolina, and they're going to walk you through all of this. And you've got your family there, and you've got your radio family. You got your local radio family at WSIC. You're going to have a lot. You're going to have a lot of folks in your corner.
I hope so, Todd. And I love you. I love you. And you know what? That's why I haven't called in a while. And I was listening to you in the when I was in the hospital. I told the nurse, I want to listen to Todd Starrs.
Wait, what? You're in the hospital and you're telling me, I got to listen to Starrs.
Yes. And they did. They came right through for it. They helped me.
Wow. That's tremendous. Maybe we picked up some new converts there at the hospital.
Just hoping that, you know, I didn't want to wear a MAGA hat because I don't know if half these doctors are liberals, you know?
Yeah, then you'll know when they stick you with a needle really hard. Whoops. Oh, that's a lib.
I love you, Todd. And I just, you know what? I did want to bring up one thing, though. I want to say about the Trump thing you were saying earlier in the week about Trump with these judges. Trump and Tom Holman, do not listen to them. Keep on going. Throw these people out. Am I right, Todd?
Throw them out. That's right. By the way, Patty, Holman also suggested last night that we could start seeing sanctuary city mayors and governors of sanctuary states being hauled off to jail. So we'll pay very close attention to the next shoe that drops.
You're going to need a crane for Pritzker, huh?
Patty, I want you to do me a favor, all right? I want you to stay in touch with us. And you keep us updated. I know you're going to have good days and bad days. You give us a holler no matter what day it is, and because we want to know how you're doing.
All right. God bless you, Todd.
All right.
God bless all your – and God bless Vin, too. I'm so glad for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, we're going to miss you. We had Ben Dieter on, and, you know, he's heading off to Washington, D.C. to work up on Capitol Hill. I still can't believe they gave him the keys to the building, but, you know, I don't think they're ready for
what?
Dieter.
The guy could have that poor
yeah,
kid.
He is. Patty, God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, Todd, and
all
I'll
right
be talking to you again.
All right,
okay?
You do that. You better. All right, there's Patty from Statesville, North Carolina. I want to ask you to do something here. We're going to bring Jeff Stein on in just a moment. Calls like that are what this radio show is all about. It's not about the politics. It's not about interviewing President Trump. It's about folks like Patty. And we have a lot of people in this audience, and many of you are going through difficulties in your life, and sometimes you feel like you're all alone, and you feel like there's nobody out there for you. But I want you to know that on this radio program, that's what we're here for. And we do things a little different. We do things a lot different here on this radio show. And we really do things that people would say are just this, you know, this is the craziest thing to do in a talk show. But this is who we are. We specialize in crazy here. But we also specialize in people, and we specialize in caring. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't know how many of you out there are Christians, but I want you to pray for our friend Patty. And she's going through a tough spot, and we love her feistiness. I'm afraid of the cancer, actually. I think she's just going to whip it like a yard dog. But I want you to do that. And I know our WSIC listeners, and maybe you know Patty locally. I hope that you guys encourage her, and maybe we could send some cards to Patty through the radio station, WSIC. I'm just talking right now at the wazoo here. But that really touches me. And I want you guys to know that, yeah, we are kind of radio family here, and we talk a lot about this big, great big radio front porch we have, and that's what it's about, sitting down and laughing through the funny times and laughing through the difficult times and hugging folks and holding on to folks. You know, that's what radio is all about. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to go to Jeff Stein, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I told you we were going to do a quick trivia question. I'll throw this out there, and then we're going to our next guest, our good buddy Jeff Stein. This is one of the most famous sandwiches in Kentucky. It is called the Hot Kentucky Brown, the Hot Brown. It's actually named after a famous hotel. Can you name the hotel? Again, the Kentucky Hot Brown Sandwich, named after a famous hotel. Can you name the hotel? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And you may be a winner. Well, let's go to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein, thanks for holding on, my friend. You never know where calls are going to take us. And I appreciate you hanging out with us.
You expect me to follow a call from Patty? What did I ever do to you?
I know.
No, you know, in all seriousness about that, you do the Newsmax. I spent the morning at a video shoot, so we've done multiple types of media. There is nothing like a radio audience. Whether I was spinning top 40 records or doing news talk, there is a connection, a community within radio listeners that is unmatched. And I don't care what kind of communication form they invent. But during the break, I noticed that Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Todd, you may not know this, he is advocating that listening to the Todd Starnes Show be required in hospitals because it just makes you feel better.
I'm all for that. I wholeheartedly endorse that message, Jeff Stein. I love that. You know, it is true, though, and I've noticed that when we came to Waterloo and we did that huge event for you guys, and it seems like it was years ago. It was just, what, last year, wasn't
it? Last June.
And one of the things I realize is you've got the richest guy in town and you've got the poorest guy in town, and they both listen to KXEL, and they're there in that room together. I mean, that's what radio does. It just sort of brings everybody together, no matter your backgrounds.
Absolutely. And again, regardless of the topic, if you're playing music, if you're talking about news or sports, and it's that the community. And I shared this with you off air the other day. I was driving across the state the other night, and I needed somebody to keep me company, and I had Todd Starnes on the radio, and that made the drive go a lot smoother. And it's the connection that you have with the audience one-on-one. You have it with radio. you don't have it with any other medium.
Well, that's true. That's true. Jeff, you know, we had been talking about President Trump's big breaking news last night with the defunding of NPR and PBS. Where do you fall on all of that?
They cannot have it both ways. The folks at NPR and PBS cannot say that, oh, we get support from listeners just like you. The government support is not that big a portion of it. And then squeal like stuck hogs. It's an Iowa and North Carolina reference. Squeal like stuck hogs when you try to take the money away. Either they are desperately reliant on the federal funds, in which case they come with some strings, or you say we don't need the federal funds and we'll go it alone. But they've been preaching that dual message that's contradictory. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't want the government competing with private business. Many states have laws in place, mine does, that says the state cannot compete with a private business. Well, if you've got a public broadcasting outlet in Tennessee, they're competing with Todd Starnes' radio station. And that does not seem to be a fair fight.
No, well, you would think so. I mean, look, I get it from the financial side, but when we do get the occasional liberal listening to the talk show, we have over the years, we have experienced many people that have had a conversion, a political conversion, and we love that. I mean, we love being missionaries to the leftist on NPR, but I'm with you. I can't get my head wrapped around the fact that we have a state-run media in the United States of America, and that's pretty much what it is.
I have no problem funding luxuries if we can afford necessities. We are now, what is it, almost $37 trillion in the hole. If the federal government made a profit every year of $1 trillion, it would take more than two generations to pay off that debt, and that's not even counting interest. So we are in such desperate financial straits. It is not a time for luxuries because we're in the hole. And when we have so many other over-the-air free broadcasting outlets, maybe my tax dollars should not go to support ones that have a decided political agenda when they're supposed to be free and neutral. The rest of us are supposed to be neutral. How come they aren't?
The great Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL joining us, our terrific affiliate there in Waterloo, Cedar Rapids. Jeff, what do you make of the governor, Kim Reynolds? It seems to me she's extremely popular, and she's not going to be running again.
There are some family issues. Her husband had been battling cancer. Blessedly, I believe that is in remission. And there was talk about a year ago that she was not going to run. Well, then just was running and raising money and telling people in February, just watch, I'm looking forward to run on my record. It was a big surprise. And I'll tell you, the Capitol Press Corps, I got this from one of the guys in the Rogues Gallery there, the press gallery. There was news that there was going to be an announcement from the campaign at 11 o'clock one morning, and they all started typing their stories with a lead of Governor Kim Reynolds announced her run for re-election today via video. And then the video came where she said she was not running. In other words, it was such a surprise, even the State House press corps had already started typing the story they thought they were going to get. Jobs like that in Iowa don't come up very often. It's a generational sort of thing. And so you are going to see a lot of folks, and it's a deep bench on the Republican side. And I think there are a couple of people in particular who have messages into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue looking to see if they would get a Trump endorsement. Because if that were to happen, you might clear that field out pretty quickly before the June 2026 primary in Iowa.
Mm. You heard it right here first, ladies and gentlemen, Governor Jeff Stein.
I run from things, not for them, Todd. And
you'd have to take a pay cut, and you know, I it's know. Just all the yeah. I get it. It's
yeah. I mean, well, with the reaction you got, you know, they're going to run you for governor as opposed to they're going to run you for king of Iowa. I think with the reaction you got here,
that was a lot of fun, and where was that place? We went to it. You took me to a great sandwich shop in, was it Cedar Rapids or Waterloo? It was amazing.
It was downtown Cedar Falls.
Cedar Falls, which is next
to Waterloo. It's a college community. And it was Barefoot Becky's or something, sandwich shop. And there was a tenderloin the size of your head.
Montana.
It really was. They should call it the Montana. It was a wonderful breaded pork loin, and you've just made me wish I was back there this afternoon.
Well, I tell you what, grab one for myself if you don't mind. Jeff, in our final moments together, I want to get your take on this. Justin, the Department of Transportation has terminated $54 million worth of woke university grants, arguing that the grants advanced racial agendas that ran counter to the department's mission. Now I understand why we have potholes the size of craters.
Well, when you're spending money in a biased manner toward any group, that's wrong. If these were grants that were to promote a certain ideology or favor someone based upon the class they were a member of, if it would be illegal if it was a Caucasian Christian, then it's illegal if it's some other category. The Department of Transportation should deal with roads and not weird light rails or heaven knows what they're doing in California. We should sell California to somebody. If Denmark wants to do a trade, let's trade California for Greenland.
That works for me. I'm all good. We've got the best beaches down at the Gulf of America anyway.
Absolutely, sir.
All right. The great Jeff Stein. Jeff, thanks for hanging out with us today. Hope you have a great weekend.
God bless, Todd.
All right. Good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. The great Jeff Stein, radio station KXEL in Waterloo. And we did have a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a big national book tour coming up later this summer. We'll be telling you more about that in the coming days as we get all those dates together. I can tell you Houston, Dallas, you guys are on the list. Wichita, Kansas, we're coming to your town as well. All right, hang tight, everybody. We're going to get to your trivia calls in just a moment. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The Hot Brown, named after what famous Kentucky hotel? All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us on this open line Friday. Let's go to the phone lines here. We have Suzanne in North Carolina. Hi, Suzanne. How are you today?
Doing great and praying for Patty.
Well, I am so happy to hear you say that, Suzanne, and I know Patty appreciates that. We're gonna try to win you a prize here. We're doing some Kentucky Derby trivia. And our first question, Suzanne, one of the most famous sandwiches in Kentucky is called the Hot Brown, the Hot Kentucky Brown. It's named after a famous hotel. Can you name the hotel?
The Brown Derby Hotel in Louisville.
All right. So we're going to, you know what, judges, let's give it to her. Sweet Lord, what was that?
In Louisville, else would you call it?
It's the Brown Hotel, but we'll take Brown Derby, but it's the Brown Hotel.
Okay.
Congratulations. That means you won. We changed up our. I hope that's what that was.
Yeah.
All right, Suzanne.
Thank you so much for being so gracious.
There it's Friday.
There is a Brown Derby Hotel in Louisville.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. All right, Suzanne, we're going to put you on hold, and congratulations, and we're going to get you a signed copy of one of my books sent to you. All right, here is the next trivia question for you Kentucky Derby fans. The official beverage made with crushed ice, mint sugar, and bourbon. Can you name the drink, the official beverage of the Kentucky Derby? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926, and we'll be taking your calls on that. So, wow, that horse kind of scared me there, Dylan. Jeez, aloo. By the way, is it true there's like a huge music festival in downtown Memphis this weekend?
Yeah, it's true. Riverbeat,
it's what Missy Elliott is headlining tonight.
She's on tonight, so a lot right. of is it the old heads that like Missy Elliott?
I is the old head, you mean the dead heads?
Are they all? Are her fans dead?
Are they? I don't know.
I like Missy Elliott.
I'm just glad. I mean, I have nothing against Earth, Wind, and Fire, but every single concert series in Memphis has Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, and they are getting older. But, you know, they still sound pretty good.
No, they do. They do. I'm very happy to hear that. So, but yeah, so the Killers over the weekend as well.
The Killers, and then Anderson .Paak, who wrote an album with Bruno Mars. That's the only way I know.
Okay. I like a little bit of Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
He's good. He's not bad.
It should be fun.
So, all right. Well, there you go. So, welcome to Memphis. We have apparently thousands of people in town for the Music Fest. So, certainly welcome all of you fine folk. I want to play some audio here. Speaking of, we've got to talk about our favorite Congress gal, Jasmine Crockett. Chuck it. Come on now. All right, Jasmine Crockett, back in the headlines. Here's what she had to say about Joe Biden's mental acuity.
Implication being those people think he has made mistakes.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. You know, people tried to talk about the mental acuity of Joe Biden. And as someone who was able to interact with him, I never questioned his mental acuity. But come on now. Come on. Like, you are crashing the economy.
All right. She never saw a drop in Biden's mental acuity. And I'm going to do something that's very rare. I'm actually going to believe her. I actually believe that Jasmine Crockett didn't realize Joe Biden was slap crazy. And the reason why is because Jasmine Crockett is slap crazy. And that's why. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, the great Jasmine Crockett. Chuck it. Come on now. Chuck it and jive it. Oh, good God. You know, I should have majored in music. I think I could have been an R&B guy. Well, then again, I got no rhythm. So, you know, it's a Baptist. It's the Baptist in me. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Joy in Texas, listening to us on the great Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Hi, Joy. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm so glad to get to talk with you. I'm a new listener of maybe a few months. My husband turned me on to you, and he's a big talk show listener. So I so appreciate your spirit and your outlook, and you're just a breath of fresh air.
Well, you are so kind to say that, Joy. And, you know, we're having a lot of fun getting to know all of our new Texas listeners. And it's a fun show, and we want it to be a lot of fun because there's a lot of craziness in the world. So we got to be able to kick back and have a good time. You know what I mean?
I do. And I'm originally from Kentucky.
Oh.
So, yeah. So I kind of think I know the answer to your
question. All right. Well, you got to. Well, Joy, we got to set it up now. All right. So here's the question again. The official beverage of the Kentucky Derby. It's made with crushed ice, mint, sugar, and bourbon. What is the name of that drink?
Well, I confess I've never had one, but I believe it's the mint julep.
Yeah, does that mean you won? Yeah, that's the winning. I don't want to hear what happens if somebody loses.
I love it. I think it's great.
Congratulations. Yeah, so you've never had a mint julep, have you?
I have not. And, you know, having grown up in Kentucky, I moved to Colorado when I was right out of college and then on to New Mexico and then to Texas. And everywhere I lived, people would say, oh, you know, when they would find out I was from Kentucky, they would say, oh, the Kentucky Derby. And I thought, I have to go back home and go to the Kentucky Derby so I can say, yes, the Kentucky Derby, because I had never gone until I moved away. So.
Joy, can I tell you something? You know, that's interesting. When I moved to, well, I was born and raised in Memphis, where we base our show. Most Memphians have never been to Graceland. And of course, you know, that's the number one tourist attraction in the entire state of Tennessee. And
I've been there.
And then when I went to New York City, I was working at Fox News Channel. Most New Yorkers have never been to the Statue of Liberty, so I think I understand why you didn't go to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Yeah. It's kind of sad, though, you know, right in your backyard and you don't do those things.
You know, one of the things that I encourage people to do is, you know, take a staycation and, you know, just take a couple of days off and explore your hometown, your home city. You never know what you might be able to find. You know, I did that one day and came across the Stax Museum, which has this incredible R&B history, and just spent the whole day there, and it just had a great time. But you never know what kind of, you know, secret nugget you might find in say, for example, Houston.
That's true. And we just take it for granted. You know, we might even know it's there, but we think we'll get around to doing it, and then we don't. So mm-hmm.
That's true.
Well,
Joy, welcome to the show. Welcome to the family. And we're going to put you on hold, and Ms. Cassia will get your information. We want to send you a prize in the mail.
You're great.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, there you go. The lovely Joy from Patriot Talk 920. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. What was that, Dylan? I didn't know.
It was just a thumbs up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
It was a good job.
We're sort of cruising into the finish line on today's show.
It's long day.
It has been a long day. All right, let's go to Jerry in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Jerry, what's on your mind today?
Thank you for taking my call, sir. And I'm kicking myself for not calling in earlier because I thought I had a brilliant idea for Open Line Friday. But I was hesitant to call because you used a shout-out of mine yesterday. But look, I think for the last 2 years, I've been saying if white privilege has a poster boy, his name is Hunter Biden. Now, lo and behold, we got Luigi Mangione. Who is, Todd, the poster boy for white privilege? Oh, and as a side note, I'm wondering, maybe some of our listeners know, I have no idea. Do people with the power and money of the Mangione family even have health insurance? And why?
Well, it's a fair question. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Luigi Mangione. They're doing a musical comedy. They've actually produced a comedy based on his life and what he did called Luigi the Musical. And it's going to be debuting in San Francisco, and the thing is sold out. I mean, there are a lot of sick people out there.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's sold out for the entire run. So very sick people out there. But you know what? It really is a fair point you raise. But these people are celebrated as heroes. I would throw the Sarnaev brothers into the mix as well. Of course, those were the Boston Marathon bombers, and Rolling Stone treated the surviving brother as if he was some sort of a rock and roll star. So there you go.
I'm thinking of nominating J.B. Pritzker as kind of a dark horse candidate.
That would have to be a two-page spread if you had him on.
Yeah.
All right. Jerry, thank you for that, and thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. All right, we're going to throw out another Kentucky Derby question. We're having fun. By the way, 5 o'clock tonight on the Newsmax show, we're taking you live to the Kentucky Derby. And we're going to be talking to John Schneider. You might remember him from the Dukes of Hazzard. He's there talking about Toby Keith. His horse is going to be running in the Derby on Saturday. All right, so here is our next question. A popular Disney movie based on a Kentucky Derby legend. So a popular Disney movie was based on a Kentucky Derby legend. Can you name the movie? What was the name of the movie based on a Kentucky Derby legend? And I'm just going to say it was really a well-done film. It was got a little woke every now and again, but overall it was a great film. If you know the answer, the name of the movie, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Don't forget ToddStearns.com. Bookmark our website. And if you missed any of our shows, our segments this week, interviews this week, well, all you need to do is go back and download our free podcast, and you'll be able to get those access to all of that. Again, information that is free for you, no strings attached. Also, sign up for our daily newsletter. You can hit the subscribe button at the top of the page, or you can even download our Todd Stern Show app, and there's lots of great stuff for you to do on the app as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Georgia. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Jeff, we're going to try to win you a prize here. This is our final Kentucky Derby question of the show. A popular Disney movie based on a Kentucky Derby legend. Can you name the movie?
Secretariat.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Jeff. Dylan, that horse scares me.
It's getting ready to run.
It's getting ready to run. All right, Jeff, congratulations. Yeah, you're right, Jeff. It is, in fact, Secretariat. Did you catch the movie by any chance?
I've seen that movie about a million times.
Isn't it? It's one of the, every now and again, you find those movies that you can sit down, you got nothing else to do, it's a rainy weekend, and you just watch that movie over and over and over again.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
By the way, Secretariat, that was one amazing horse. You might remember that he was, what, the Triple Crown winner in 1973. All right, Jeff, hang tight. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll get all of your info there. It was a good movie, but it had a little feminist, a feminist anti-war angle going through it. That was when Disney was just in the early stages of going woke, so it is what it is. Hey, real quick, before we scoot out of here, folks, I want to go back to something that happened late yesterday in the show when this U.S. District Judge out of Texas, Fernando Rodriguez Jr., struck down President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act. I know the administration is going to be pushing back, and they need to, but I want to encourage you, if you have time over the weekend, to make a call to your elected leaders, and you need to tell them it is time to start playing hardball with these activist judges. And if they are going to stand in the way of the president's agenda, if they are going to try and stage what is a de facto courthouse coup, well, they need to be impeached. And we went through, and I went through yesterday with the explaining to you why Speaker Johnson is not too keen on doing that, but it's the right thing to do. And sometimes the right thing to do is a hard thing, but you still have to do it. So there's nothing preventing Congress right now from stepping in and impeaching these judges. And even if you don't have the votes in the U.S. Senate, you should do the right thing as the House of Representatives. That's what you ought to do. The question is, well, are they going to do it? By the way, yesterday, last night, and we'll get into this on Monday's show. We had Congresswoman Nancy Mace on my Newsmax program last night. She made a startling revelation about a great Christian school in South Carolina talking about Furman University. Now, Furman is very close to my heart because that is a family institution. Two of the buildings on the campus of Furman, which used to be a great Baptist school. I think it was Baptist, and then it went Christian, and I don't know what it is now. It may just be a private school. I don't know if they've gone secular. But it's very troubling. Anyway, I've got two of the buildings on that campus are named after family members. Girls' volleyball gym and one of the basketball gyms named after members of our family. And Nancy May says that Furman University is now allowing men to undress and shower in the bathrooms and locker rooms of girls. This is insanity. So Nancy Mace is on the warpath, and she's really on a crusade. And I really respect this about Nancy Mace. She's on a crusade to crack down on all these universities that are advancing this gender nonsense. And I'll give you an example of how effective she is. She announced the other day that Clemson had a form, a student application. You had 15 choices for your gender. And after Nancy Mace picked up the phone and called Clemson University, they deleted all but two of the genders. We're back to male and female. And a lot of that is simply because Nancy Mace is taking a rock solid stand. This woman is facing death threats. The transgender community, those people are slap crazy freaking mental cases. And they're all coming after her. and yet she doesn't have government security. It seems to me Speaker Johnson needs to make sure that Nancy Mace is protected when she is out and about, because these transgender, some of these transgender folks, and especially the activists, they are Looney Tune, completely unhinged. And we've seen that in the behavior that they've exhibited towards women up on Capitol Hill. And it's nothing more. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about that. Absolutely no way any of those Republican women are going to be intimidated by a man in a dress. No way, no how, no way, no sir, no ma'am. All right, folks, it has been a great day. We're going to do this all over again on Monday. In the meantime, head over to toddstearns.com. You can watch us tonight on Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern. Get out there, folks. Have a great Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.